Well, if you got your Bibles, go to Joseph, not Joseph, go to Genesis chapter 40. We're going to be in verses or chapters 40 and 41 this morning. I know that we've talked about it a lot, but I think that this passage very much speaks into what we just walked through this last week. Little town was hit with an EF2 tornado, and many of you had damage to your homes, and many of you didn't get great sleep. In fact, there was a house just right up the road that caught on fire and burnt down. And so there were sirens and people working that fire all night long. Many of you lost power for days, and many of you sat in your bathrooms wondering what would happen. However, you're here today. You're here sitting with us. You are in this room. We are listening to songs of praise. We are getting to share in the goodness of God. And by God's grace, as far as we know, no one was seriously injured or killed from this storm that shook us. And so this week has carried a lot of fear and heaviness for many of us, not just with the storm, but maybe other aspects of life. And we may not understand quite why the Lord allowed this storm to rage through our town, but here's what I do know and what I am confident in, is that in the midst of all of this, that God is still good and God is still faithful. And just like he was with Joseph in his victories and defeats, he remains with us ever still. And so this morning, we're going to be looking at what seems like a defeat for Joseph, but actually ends up turning into a great and marvelous victory. So if you got your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter 40 and 41. And the title of this sermon this morning is Waiting on the Lord. Now, I will not have the text on the screen this morning, just a heads up. And yes, I am going to be reading two full chapters of Scripture. I think it's important as we go through the story of Joseph that we are reading what is in the text and then gleaning and learning from that. I left the text out on purpose this morning because I do think it is important for you guys to be reading this in your actual Bibles, especially with this story. And so even if you and I are in a different translation, I still encourage you to, if you have a Bible with you, to follow along with me in Genesis chapter 40, starting in verse 1. And it says this: Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. Must have been pretty offensive. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each of his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with them in custody in the master's house, "Why are your faces so downcast today? What's wrong?" They said to him, "We've had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to the Lord? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine were three branches, and as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed them in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly, when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating out of the basket on my head. And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation. The three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you." On the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all of his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Go to chapter 41. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up from the Nile after them, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the seven attractive, plump cows, and Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind, and the thin ear swallowed up the 7 plump full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all of the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in the chief baker in custody, in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged." Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said that you, when you hear a dream, can interpret it." Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. 7 cows, plump and attractive, came up out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. 7 other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And the thin, ugly cows ate up the 7 plump cows, but when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on one stalk, full and good, 7 ears, withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. And the thin ear swallowed up the 7 good ears, and I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after the 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. So it is as I told to Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. But after them, there will be 7 years of famine. And all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. The famine will consume the land. And the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe." And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring about it. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. and let them gather all the food these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so the land may not perish through the famine. We're almost done. Verse 37. This proposal pleased Pharaoh and he and all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only in regards to the throne, I will be greater than you." Does that sound familiar? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over the land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called before him, "Bow the knee." Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up a hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Savinath-Pentheath. And he gave him in marriage to Aseneth, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered into the service in the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. Remember, Joseph was 17 when he was sold off into slavery. During the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly, and he gathered up all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it, and Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Before the year of the famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph. The daughter of the Potiphar priest of On bore to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, "God has made me forget all my hardship in all my father's house." And the name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the lands, but all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph, what he says you will do." So when the famine had spread over the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. Will you pray with me as we walk through this text together? Father, we are so grateful for this morning, and God, we are grateful for the way that you provide for us. God, I pray that you would help us to see in this story, Father, how we are to wait on you in your timing and in your plan for us. God, we see in Joseph's story that there were different things that had happened that put him in the place that he was at the time that he was supposed to be there, so that your will would be fulfilled. God, I pray that you would help us to trust you with not only the plans of our lives, but the plans of the ones we love. God, help us to trust you in these moments where we feel like things don't make sense. God, help us to lean on you in our waiting. It's your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. So, I know that was a lot, and that was a lot of reading, but we are going to walk through the story fairly quickly and then pull out what are the application points from this text. One thing I'm hoping that you guys gained from listening to that being read was that there's a lot of the Bible that also reads like a story too. What's beautiful about the Old Testament is there's so much narrative in it where it reads much like that, a story. And so if you're ever discouraged about reading Scripture and you're really just looking at these books, like 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and you're nervous of jumping into those books, remember, a lot of these are going to be narratives that are going to read just like this, just like a story you would read today. But they're not just stories for story's sake. These stories have something to teach us. And so when we last left Joseph, he was thrown into prison for a crime he did not commit. However, we were reminded last week that of this truth in verses 21 through 23 of Genesis 39. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. If you remember, there was a very similar passage that explained what Joseph had and what he endured with Potiphar, where Potiphar made him second in command over all of his house, that everything that belonged to Potiphar was Joseph's. Well, then Joseph ends up in prison, and then the Lord was still with Joseph, and now he is over everything in the prison. And so you begin to see this pattern. It also happens again with Pharaoh. The Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph is then put in second in command to Pharaoh over everything in the land. The Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord remained with Joseph in both his victories and his afflictions. So let's look at this story. There's so much to teach us. So after Joseph had been thrown into prison, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, God was still with him. And because God gave him favor in the eyes of the prison warden, Joseph was over everything in the prison, including the prisoners. And even in that dark place, where Joseph is in a pit, where Joseph is not where he wants to be, God was still with him, and Joseph was still faithful in serving God. Even in a place he didn't want to be, even in a place that it was unfair that he was there, Joseph still faithfully served the Lord. And so sometime later, the Bible doesn't tell us exactly how long, Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker offended Pharaoh, and he threw them both in the same prison, and this is the one that Joseph happened to be in. So the captain of the guard assigned Joseph to look after him. But one night, each of them had a dream, different dreams, but both rather disturbing. The next morning, Joseph noticed their troubled faces and asked, "What's going on? Why do you look so sad?" They replied, "We had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them." So Joseph tells them, "Don't interpretations belong to the Lord? Tell me your dreams." And so they both share their dreams. Both are very similar. And so Joseph gives them an interpretation based on what the Lord has given them in their dreams. And we read those things earlier, but here's what Joseph said to them. Is that in this interpretation, the cupbearer would be restored to Pharaoh, but the chief baker would be killed, both in a matter of 3 days. And so when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph and asked him about this dream, and so he gave him the same interpretation. But there's something that is really important. When you go and look at the more favorable of these interpretations, when you look at the interpretation of the chief cupbearer, what does Joseph tell him? He tells him, "In your kindness, please do not forget me. Please say something to Pharaoh." See, Joseph already knows that the cupbearer is going to be lifted up and brought back into Pharaoh's command and not the baker. So he asked this baker, or not the baker, the cupbearer, "Please remember me when you go back to Pharaoh. Remember the kindness that I showed you." Now I want to pause here for a moment. Why include this portion in the text? Why not just fast forward to Pharaoh? Why not fast forward to where Pharaoh has a dream, he needs it interpreted, and then the Bible brings Joseph into the picture. Well, Joseph needed a way to be connected to Pharaoh. And so God in his sovereignty allowed these two prisoners to be in the prison at this specific time with specifically Joseph, who could interpret these dreams because of the Lord. This is why it was important. One, it showed that Joseph's continued reliance on the Lord. Throughout Joseph's time in the prison, he's continuing to serve the Lord faithfully. Right? I think it had been really easy for Joseph in his bitterness and anger because he was put there wrongly to just sit around and do nothing. Like, why would I want to serve this prison well if I got framed at my last position, right? Why would he want to still do that? Well, he did that because, one, he was a man of integrity, and two, it was the right thing to do. He wanted to honor and faithfully serve the Lord wherever he was. Joseph was naturally a leader at heart because of God choosing him and God equipping him. But the second was, it showed Joseph's ability to interpret dreams because of the Lord. This moment was the moment that is going to show Pharaoh that where his magicians fail, God prevails. And without interpreting these dreams and having a witness to them, the Pharaoh may have not believed that Joseph could actually do this work. And lastly, because they were those who worked for Pharaoh, we now have a connection to Pharaoh to get Joseph in front of him. And so if this should teach us anything, this should teach us that there may be things in our life that happen that have purpose that we don't see yet. There might be things that happen to us in our lives that have purpose that we may not see or understand yet. We may not understand why we didn't get a certain job that we wanted. We may not understand why something fell through in the way it did. We may not understand why certain people may reject us. We may not understand why X, Y, or Z, or why these certain people would meet us for some small and quick interaction. But the Lord has a reason for everything in our life, even the small things. And God used this supposedly small interaction to bring Joseph to Pharaoh. And so 3 days later was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all of his servants, and he lifted up the heads of the chief baker and the chief cupbearer, and he restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and then Joseph, just as Joseph has said, but then he hanged the chief baker. But then what we see happens, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, and he forgot him. And so it could be really easy for the story to end there, but it doesn't. Going into Genesis 41, we see that 2 full years have passed. Then Pharaoh had a dream. I want you to imagine for a moment how difficult this would have been for Joseph, who had just interpreted these dreams for these men, and those things had come true. And I imagine Joseph being in the position he was, being in Potiphar's prison, being the second in command to the warden over all the prison, surely Joseph would have heard what happened with the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. Yet, he was forgotten. Joseph continued to remain in the pit. I can't imagine how difficult it would have been to hear the news that this man was restored, that what you just interpreted, that the interpretation the Lord gave you was true, that you fulfilled that, but yet this man forgot about you and didn't extend kindness in return. And then years pass, and Joseph remains in the pit. See, waiting on the Lord can be difficult, but that doesn't make God unfaithful. Waiting on the Lord may be difficult, but that doesn't make God unfaithful. Often the Lord's timing is much better than our own. Because if Joseph would have gotten to Pharaoh earlier, Pharaoh would have not yet had this dream. It was important that Pharaoh had this dream before Joseph was brought before him. And so what was this dream? Well, the dreams were very similar but odd. In both dreams, there was either these healthy plants or healthy cows, but they both get eaten up by versions of those same things that were whittled and that were starved. And what we know is that these dreams were 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. But at the time, Pharaoh didn't know what these dreams were. And he summoned all the Egyptians' magicians and all the wise men, but no one could interpret his dreams. No one could tell them what they were about. And so the chief cupbearer finally remembered at this time Joseph. And the chief cupbearer and I have a lot in common, often forgetting things until the very last minute. And so he said, "Today I remember my faults when Pharaoh was angry with me and the chief baker. We were in prison. We each had a dream of a young Hebrew servant. The captain of the guard interpreted them for us, and everything happened just as he said." And so Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once. So this seemingly small interaction is now remembered and brought to light, and now Joseph is being brought to Pharaoh. And in all honesty, it kind of reminds me of when when I was interviewing for the job in Warren as a student pastor, and one of the guys on the search committee remembered Victoria and I from a movie that he went and saw in Little Rock. He's like, hey, I remember that guy. He and his wife were there with a bunch of, or at the time we were engaged, were there with a bunch of their students. And so we had that interaction a year before I'd ever even interviewed with them to then move to Southeast Arkansas. So it's funny how these small interactions may seem small in a moment, but then the Lord can use them later on for something else. And so Pharaoh goes and grabs Joseph and he gets them all cleaned up. And then he tells them, I've had a dream. No one can interpret it, but I've heard that you can interpret dreams. So can you do this for me? Joseph replied, I can't, but God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. So at this time, Joseph is saying that I'm not the one giving the interpretation. The Lord is giving this to you. Trying to point Pharaoh in creditation to God and his goodness and his sovereignty and his wholeness rather than pointing it to Joseph and lifting Joseph up. So Pharaoh told Joseph the dreams, and Joseph told Pharaoh that the dreams were the same thing. They meant the same thing. There were going to be 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine, and that he has to get someone wise who's going to help him to navigate this. And then Joseph proceeds to tell him everything he needs. And so Pharaoh and his servants were pleased. And then he said, can we find anyone like this, a man who is in the spirit of God? And then he said to Joseph, since God has revealed all this to you, there is no one as wise and discerning as you. You shall be the one in charge of my palace, and all my people will obey you as you command. Only I as king will be greater than you. And so Joseph is then elevated to second in command to Pharaoh himself. And I love that in Joseph's character, Joseph didn't just tell him, hey, I'm the man for the job. Hire me. Instead, he says, this is who you need. These are the qualities you need. And then Pharaoh saw those in Joseph. Again, Joseph is a man that does not put himself above others. He often speaks in a way that are humble, giving credit to the Lord, serving well, serving with integrity. This is still this Christ-like character in Joseph that continues on throughout the story that leads him to where he is to be. And so Joseph was 30 when he entered into Pharaoh's service, and he went throughout Egypt doing exactly what he told Pharaoh that he should do. Prepare while there are seasons of plenty for the seasons of famine. Then Joseph gets married, and he has two children. And I love the meaning of their names. God has made me forget all my hardship, and God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. After years of being enslaved and imprisoned, he is finally in the place where he's seeing God be fruitful in his life. Then the 7 years of famine came, but in the land of Egypt there was food, because Joseph had prepared. People from every land came to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. So as we end this story, what are our points of application? What do we learn from this story? Well, this story has a lot to teach us, and we could get into different details. In fact, I've got this, it's up here. I'll show you guys what it is. This is a Life Council Bible. It's a CSB Bible. It's one thing I really enjoy about it as a counselor is it takes different articles from different biblical counseling coalitions and things like that and applies to where these texts come from. And when I was reading Genesis and studying for this 40:41, it pulled out the idea of finances, where a lot of this is talking very heavily about how you should save and how you should handle your finances and all of that to prepare for seasons like this. And yes, there's a lot of talk of famine and all that, but I think that there are other lessons to learn in this too, and not just this one, which is why I love narratives, because narratives have so much to teach us. And I believe the first thing that we can learn from this is that as Joseph waited on the Lord, so should we. As Joseph waits on the Lord, so should we. The Bible doesn't tell us how Joseph responded to being forgotten. But here's what I know about Joseph, about seeing his story and seeing his character, is that Joseph, being a man of patience, endurance, integrity, and who loved the Lord, continued to wait and trust on the Lord. Maybe many of you in this room are waiting on things, waiting on an answer from the Lord, waiting on His direction and timing, waiting on the next step. Our job is not to understand all those things or whine or pout that we don't get what we want when we want it. Instead, we are to wait on the Lord and trust in His timing, and His timing is often, if not always, better than our own. Which leads me to the second application point. God's timing is the best timing. God's timing is the best timing. I actually taught on Joseph's story my first year here at Greenland, and we did it all on one Sunday. Can you imagine going through all this in one Sunday? It was hard then. It is already hard now. And when we went through that, we blasted through this story. But one of the things that I talked about was the fact that when it comes to Joseph's story, everything happened at a specific time in a specific place for a specific reason. And if you change any of the elements in this story, Joseph's story falls apart, right? It just so happened that Joseph was in a pit while his brother was gone trying to figure out how to save his youngest brother when the slavers went by and they were eating lunch to sell Joseph to the slavers. It just so happened that those slavers went and sold him to Potiphar. It just so happened that Potiphar had a relationship with the prison to send Joseph to. It just so happened that Joseph was working in the prison where the cupbearer and the baker were sent to. Can you see how all these things play into each other? If one element goes missing, Joseph isn't where he's supposed to be. And God put Joseph exactly where he was supposed to be to fulfill His plan for saving His people. Joseph waited for 2 years for God to move forward. And in that time, he continued to be faithful to the Lord. So God's timing is the best timing. And the last is that there is wisdom and preparation. There is wisdom and preparation. Joseph is a very wise man, and he tells Pharaoh what to do when a famine is coming. And although I believe the best thing to learn from this and the most important thing is from this text is to wait on the Lord, I also don't disagree with a few of the devotionals that are in the Life Council Bible, which is we should be those who prepare for tragedy. To prepare for tragedy. It's not a bad thing for you to have a savings. It's not a bad thing for you to prepare for famines and things to come. If you know something is coming on the horizon, it is not distrusting of the Lord for you to prepare for that. Right? For example, Victoria starts nursing school next week. We've been preparing for her to start nursing school for months, ever since she got accepted. And we are trusting the Lord with different aspects of that, but it is not unfaithful for us to prepare for that. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to prepare for everything. It doesn't mean that you can be sovereign over what's to come. And your job isn't even to know all that's going to transpire or how it's going to transpire, but your job is to be wise. And there's wisdom and preparation. And so this is what the story has to teach us. That we are to wait on the Lord because He is trustworthy and His timing is perfect and it is wise for us to prepare for things to come. And so will you pray with me this morning as we have a short time of invitation? Lord, we thank You so much for today. God, I'm so grateful for who You are. Father, I pray that You would help us to be those who wait on You and wait on Your timing and trust in Your sovereignty and Your plans for our own lives. God, I pray that You would forgive us for whenever we fall short of that, when we try to take matters in our own hands, when we grow frustrated with You, with not moving when we want You to move. And God, instead, I pray that You would help us to see Your goodness and Your timing and what You're doing in our lives. God, not that we would be those who wouldn't have to trust in You, but God, that our trust would increase in You in seeing those things. So, Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for who You are. Your Son's holy name I pray. Amen.